right. Hey, John, how are we doing this week?
Good, DJ. How are you, man?
Great, great. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was fantastic, man.
Really?
Really good. Had a great day. You were surprised.
Yeah.
Because I didn't say, oh, it was great. Yeah.
I know. There was enthusiasm there. What the?
You were waiting. I could see by you looking at your face.
Yeah.
Now, we do Thanksgiving every year at my sister's house. And then generally we do Christmas at our house. So we do that kind of trade off every year. So we had actually for the first time in, I don't even know how many years, the entire family made it out.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
This year. Well, with the exception of my grandmother, she wasn't able to make it. You know, she's getting up there. But all the kids, the grandkids, everybody. So it was probably like 30 to 33 people.
Wow.
Piled into my sister's house.
Wow.
But it was great. We had a great day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did
a lot of fun.
Same thing. We did the travel over to my sister-in-law's. Then from there, I went to my sister's for dessert.
Cool.
And then back home for more sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
We ate a little too much, drank a little too much.
Yeah.
Slept a little bit too little.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Did all my Black Friday shopping online, Best Buy online, at about 11 o'clock Thursday night. I beat all the crowds and got everything I wanted. So.
Oh, that's good. I avoid that every year.
I don't leave my house to go Black Friday shopping.
I don't even think about it. With Amazon now, I just... do you really save that much?
Well, you do. I mean, honestly, all I was looking for were 4K Blu-rays. So, you know, I don't know about... you know, obviously, I've worked in retail my entire life. So the dirty little retail secret, and if you guys want to spread this out there, you can. You find better deals the week before Christmas than you ever find on Black Friday.
Yeah.
Every store I've ever worked at, we had better sales and deeper discounts that week of Christmas than we ever had on Black Friday. But with that being said... Best Buy had some crazy low prices on some 4K Blu-rays, and you know, having just got the setup at the house, I don't have any 4K movies really. So, I know my wife is going to listen to this sometime later, so I have to be careful. But I bought about 18 4K movies on between Best Buy and then.
I wonder why you fell asleep. You must have been exhausted.
Yeah, well. Some of it was on Best Buy, and then the rest of it was the next day on iTunes. iTunes had some crazy good prices, too, on 4K movies. So I bought, like, 12 at Best Buy, and then I bought 7 or 8 more the next day from iTunes. So now I've got about 27 4K movies that I can watch. I haven't watched a single one of them yet.
No, they'll sit in their wrapper.
yep, but I have them.
That's good.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just worked. Trying to keep up, trying to catch up with Young Justice.
Yeah,
I've been binging that because that you know.
I'm sure you'll tell us later that they did announce the season premiere for season 3, which I was excited about because it's coming sooner than I was expecting.
Yeah, and the whole did you see the whole enhanced that they're going to be doing?
No, and honestly, I haven't even watched the trailer yet. I just kind of cursory. I gave it a glance at the headline just to see when it was coming out, but I haven't read the article or even watched the trailer yet for it.
They're doing a whole, they're going to be releasing some of the shows, the previous shows from the first two seasons in an enhanced version, which is going to be like with commentary and stuff like that, getting into the behind the scenes stuff, which is sounds kind of funny for a, animation
cartoon
behind the scenes. Let's see how they did that stunt
behind the drawings.
Yeah, exactly. So
Young Justice,
but yeah, there's going to be also that's what's so great about the DC universe right now. They're just promoting obviously themselves, but everything they're doing is expanding on it. I read an article this week just about Titans and how it's the article said it's the best best show that DC has going right now, including all the CW shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not a big DC Daily watcher, but after last week, I did make an effort to watch it Monday, again this week, just for the Titans discussion. And, yeah, they do a good job of bringing up things that, you know, you didn't necessarily think of or catch when you were watching the episode. So I've enjoyed, you know, their follow-up to Titans.
Yeah. And
at least on Monday.
So what's pretty interesting is, so for Young Justice coming out, they're going to release, I saw the breakdown, it's something like 3 episodes every Friday starting January 4th, right?
Right.
And then on that goes from to the 18th, and then I believe it's the 25th, they're going to release 4 episodes, and that's it for the first half season. And then the next half season comes out in January. But in conjunction with all that, they're going to be doing a show, I believe it's on Tuesdays now, on DC Daily, that's going to be part of that, and they're going to expand on it. And they've listed all of these other shows that are going to talk about those shows. So they're expanding their entire week, you know, so it's like, right. Now when Doom Patrol comes out, they're probably going to do the same thing. So,
well, it's kind of like Talking Dead and things like that, that, you know, AMC's been doing that for a long time after their
right.
big shows, you know, and I guess it's similar to that because, hell, half the people on DC Daily have been guests on The Talking Dead, I think. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, they're all, you know, they're all, it's one big geek circle.
Right.
And, you know, they all kind of get around. But I think that's where the DC app is heading, where we're going to get kind of like that breakdown of every show.
Right.
After we get, like, I imagine Doom Patrol will probably be a Friday night show also, just like Titans War was. Which, the only drawback there is you won't get the immediate follow-up because you don't get the show until Monday.
Right.
Whereas you can do The Walking Dead and you get The Talking Dead immediately afterwards. So it would be actually really, I would love to see DC get into that kind of format where you can get it right after the show. And
yeah,
you know, I think it would be good. I mean, granted, not everybody, you know, The Walking Dead has a specific time slot where, you know, you watch it from 8 to 9 and then Talking Dead comes on at 9. So it'll be a little harder to pull off with a streaming service because you don't know when people are going to
right.
watch it. But if you know it's there and you can just go right into it right afterwards, I think it would still be pretty cool for them to do that.
Right. I think, like, we keep hesitating, and I just hesitated in saying hesitating, but we keep hesitating on what we call that, the DC app, but it's actually called DC Universe.
DC, right. I just wonder that people won't, well, not everybody will know what we're talking about.
Yeah, but so. Exactly. But here's the thing, when you see how they're starting to schedule their stuff, they really are creating their own universe. Like, you're every night, okay, Tuesdays, you're going to be able to watch the recap of the previous week's Young Justice, and then Mondays we right. can do Titans, and we can, you know, Doom Patrol is going to be on Wednesdays, the recap for that, and all these different shows are going to drop on each day, and they're pacing it out as such that, well, you can't just wait and binge a certain, you know, and drop it for right. a month. They're bringing you in, and they're actually giving you decent content to go along with everything.
Right.
And creating a universe. You know,
not to throw a negative out there, and I'm not trying to, especially since nobody that's listening to this has any
say in it.
Oh,
that's what I got you here for.
Well, the thing is, it's they're doing all of this to promote the app, which is fantastic. But if they would put those resources into actually making sure that everybody that wanted the app could get it, that they'd be better
yeah.
served by making sure that all your Fire TV owners could get the service and then
right.
worry about all these shows.
And
I think that's the biggest downfall to everything they're trying to do, because what good is it to have all these amazing things that they're doing, which they really are doing great things. Like, you know how much I love Titans, and I'm chomping at the bit to talk about it next week because episode 8 happens this week. So not to jump the gun.
Is this week's episode 8?
This week's is episode 8, so
I know what we're doing next week.
Yeah, not to spoil next Tuesday or Wednesday night, but I'm hoping it's Titans. But
yeah,
they're doing all these great things, but yet you know, 70% of the people that want to get this service don't have access to it. So I don't know.
Well,
I think they're...
I have heard that they're... Joe and I were looking at... Because we were trying to... He's trying to get it on his Xbox. And he's like,
right,
why...
Which isn't there.
It's not there yet. So he started looking at it, and we started looking it up, and I never followed up on it. But he did come across something that said it's come... They're working on getting it out
soon.
Well,
they are working on it. Now, to be fair, to give DC Universe credit, the PlayStation and Xbox apps were always coming later. Like, that was part of the initial announcement that we will be available on these platforms, and then sometime next year we'll have PlayStation and Xbox. So that's not something that people weren't prepared for. It's the Fire TV that really is the big sticking point, because it was announced originally as being available at launch. And, you know, here we are 3 months later and it's still not available. So I just wish that they would put that effort into getting those things straightened out before they start bringing us all this great stuff that, you know, you and I honestly, it doesn't matter to me. I can watch it. So,
right.
You know, you and I are getting it, but not everybody that wants it is getting it. And I think, you know, like I said, I don't know. I can say it 50 times and still say the same thing, but I think they're putting all their eggs in the wrong basket right now until they make sure everybody can see it. You know, why are they putting all this effort into building this platform that nobody's really watching?
Do you wonder if they're racing against Marvel? Like, they're trying to be the first, because here's the thing. They have yet to be the first at anything against Marvel. Marvel's movies came out first. Marvel's shows were on Netflix.
Well, arguably they came out first. I don't, you know, DC's had movies out. About the MCU versus the DCU.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
But DC's, you know, we talked about it on our first episode, I believe, you know, how DC really had the lion's share of the movies and for a long time.
Yeah, but lately they've been the one that's being compared to Marvel. So Marvel will do something. Avengers, and now DC's Justice League is, why isn't it more colorful like this? Why isn't it that?
Right.
Well, here they are. They come out with this DC Universe app. It's not as available as you'd want it to be, but it is.
Right.
It's way more available than Marvel's, and content is really good. I watch it every day. Every single day, I'm going on to that app.
They're absolutely racing Marvel. There's no question about that. But here's the thing. It's like Marvel's not racing DC.
Right.
Like Marvel is going to wait until they have every – like I would bet money that the Disney service doesn't launch without Fire TV support or whatever. They're not going to jump the gun because they don't have to, because they know when they put it out, they're still probably going to be number one, even if they come a year later. So,
right. That's the thing, is if you go first, you run the risk of you got to work out some quirks and it seems a little clunky.
Right.
Meanwhile, the second person sits back and learns from your mistakes. But at the same time, by the time Marvel launches, DC's got a head start. They've got viewers. They've got me. I can't wait for Marvel. It's not like I'm not going to watch the Marvel one too, but
and that's the thing, is they're going to get both. Both services are going to get a huge cross-section of the same people, regardless of who comes first or second. If Marvel came first, I'd still jump on the DC app when it came out.
Yeah.
So, like, there's lots of us that are going to get them all no matter what.
Yeah,
but
and it looks like this is the way everything's going, too.
There's no doubt. Don't even get me started on that again, because if you've listened to more than one episode of this, you've heard me more than once talk about different streaming
services. On one of the other podcasts I listened to, they were talking about the Criterion Collection, and they had their own streaming service, or they were on a streaming service. I can't remember the name of it. It was I'd never heard of it before, but that's where it was. Well, that just shut down as of like last week, and now Criterion Collection is going to be coming out with its own streaming service under Warner. And it's everything is, but that's what they were talking about in that podcast I was listening to, like how that's how instead of ordering stations on your cable box, now you're just going to, everything's going to be streaming. And you're just going to be, do I want to get this? Do I want to, you know? And that's the way it's going to go. And who knows what it'll be like 10 years from now, 20 years from now.
Oh, 10 years from now, I think cable and satellite and all that stuff will be a thing of the past. And you're right. Every single channel you get will be an on-demand streaming service.
Yeah.
The thing that's going to make that accessible, though, is they can't all be $7.99 or $10 or $9.99 a month. Like, you're going to have to start getting some of these for like $2-3 a month, because you know you can't have 150 streaming services at $8 a month.
Or you just get more. There'll be I'm sure there'll be packages. Or you just get more. I don't know what the word is, but you get more selective on what you what you stream.
Well, you. Definitely, yeah. You just won't be able to watch everything you've been watching before, I guess.
How funny would it be if we go full circle and cable goes away, satellite goes away, you go back to your rabbit ears, because that still exists. You can get I run one here for HD channels if I lose.
I was going to say, you can get 4K broadcast over the air with an antenna.
Right.
That you can't even get on DirecTV without paying extra for it.
And believe it or not, the over-the-air broadcast actually looks better. It's a better, it's a cleaner broadcast than cable or satellite. Satellite's cleaner than cable because it's less compression. And then over-the-air is like practically zero.
Which I haven't done yet, even though when I bought the TV, the guy told me, he says, get yourself a good over-the-air antenna and you watch all your local stuff for free.
Right.
Much better.
Yeah. You know? It'll look real nice.
Yeah.
But, to get back to the point, is like, how funny would it be if like cable goes away, satellite goes away, you go back to the old days of your three regular channels, a few UHF channels over the air, and by the way, CW is one of them up here, so that's cool. Right. And everything else is streaming.
Right.
So, you know, you get your free TV and you'll get your few shows, which CW would be free for me, and that's it. And you just stream everything else. That's pretty much the way it's going to go. It'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, until we start, actually, 15 years from now, 10 years from now, we might not even be doing that. They'll probably be beaming this stuff directly into our heads, and we won't be doing anything at all.
Well, don't get me into that. The way things are going to go, we're not going to need Wi-Fi. We're not going to need any of that. Everything's going once we go to...
No, we're all going to be on 5G anyways. Within 5 years, we should all be on 5G. I don't even think there'll be internet Wi-Fi at your house.
Right.
I mean, everything's just going to be run off of 5G.
Right.
So.
It's faster, and now you're at the mercy of that satellite going down. Reboot my satellite.
Yeah. Well, then we'll be in the zombie apocalypse. We won't have to worry about it.
Yeah. So, anyways, we started all this with Young Justice, and I'm very...
Yeah, I don't know how we got all the way over here.
I know. very impressed. Very, very impressed.
It's great. Like, Young Justice is fantastic.
I just finished the first season today, and it's every day. It's just every episode just leaves you hanging for... And they don't necessarily answer it in the next episode.
Well, see, have to deal with, that we all had to deal with, is the fact that when you get to the end of season two, you know that season three is right around the corner.
Right.
Because it ends with a big cliffhanger that we didn't think was ever going to get answered. So hopefully they do, and they don't just jump into season three and not address anything that happened. But it was kind of like, that's it? Really?
Yeah.
There's no season three?
So I want to get through season two, and then I can enjoy like all of the Young Justice enhanced stuff that they have coming up in December leading up to January 4th.
Yeah, I need to start binging it again, too, because it's been a couple of years since I've watched it. And, you know, I know that I've seen it all and I liked it, but I want to be more up to speed when the new season comes out. So
yeah, I liked... how when each Justice League member walks in, and they come through that tunnel there, and they get announced, but they get their little designation, their number.
Oh yeah, I don't remember.
I know Batman's number one. I don't remember Superman coming through, but I got to imagine he's number one. Batman's number two.
Okay,
and then other ones are, different number. You know, I haven't figured out who three is yet.
It's got to be Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Because that would be the Trinity, heard, yeah. You know, yeah,
yeah, that's true. But I don't remember Green Arrow. They said him, but I don't remember it. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was one of the ones? I can't remember the episode, but I started thinking, I'm like, what if this is the basis? Obviously, it's in season one. It's the episode where they get divided. The kids are all on one Earth.
Yeah, yeah, and the parents are on the other.
And the parents are on the other. And I'm like,
and you have Shazam. Yeah.
Yeah, and he can go between the two, which was pretty right. cool. What if that's the entire basis of Avengers?
Oh.
Like all, that'd be awesome. All Thanos did, and we all think he's like the Mad Titan. And what if he was actually just really cool about it and he said, "All right, I'm not going to kill half the people. I'll just create two different universes. Half the people right. go here, half the people go here. Everybody gets to prosper. Nobody starves. They all have enough for each other in their own universes. Ha-ha, that's cool.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Now what do you do? You're like, oh.
Now we don't need a movie.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, there was a big rumor that the trailer was going to drop today. And
nice segue.
That was a rumor. Yeah, because that did not happen.
No, I actually, before we hooked up tonight, I was like checking. I'm like, that would be cool if it dropped right before we went on.
Yeah. Oh, were you going to talk about that later?
That's the next thing. I was like, that's what I was going to say. That's why I led you there.
I'm in your mind, dude. I know.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Everybody. I'm reading stuff online, people talking about the trailer, and they're like, I'm starting to get worried. What, that they didn't make the movie? Like, what are you worried about?
It's like
psych. Like the biggest con of all time.
The thing you should worry about is that we all fell for some stupid idiot's rumor. Some dude just writes it, and we all fall for it.
Yeah, because actually, last I heard was it was supposed to be coming out. I don't remember the date or the number, but it was something like it intertwined with Into the Spider-Verse.
I was going to say the main rumor I heard, which probably makes the most sense, is that it was going to drop with that movie.
Right.
But
and somebody had I wish I had saved
although
it.
that is a Sony production, so I'm not sure you know how involved Disney is in that, but
yeah.
But they're not going
to
wait
to kill a good rumor.
Like, well, but I'm saying their next movie is Captain Marvel, and they're not going to wait that long because that's just a couple of weeks before release. So,
yeah.
If they're going to drop it in a movie, it would make sense to be, you know, it's still Marvel characters, so
right.
It would make the most sense
but
to do it there.
Somebody had the whole outline of it that it would drop. It's like 100 days, or like today's 99 days till Captain Marvel. Yesterday was the 100
right, which yesterday mark. Was 100, but we got the trailer a couple of weeks ago.
Right, but
so
this article read, again, I wish I had all the facts that he had written out, but it really lined up with Into the Spider-Verse in that the way they dropped all the other trailers, it was like at the same time frame. It was like bam, right. bam, bam, and it really lined up and made sense. And that's why in the last few days, reading on Twitter, how everybody's like, oh, it's coming soon, could be today, could be right now, it could be, you know, listen to a podcast, it could be coming right now while we're talking, and it's like, it's not coming right now.
The thing is, am I wrong? Maybe I am, because, you know, it's me.
We usually are.
But wasn't the trailer for Infinity War during the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Or was that just the second? Or is that just like a second trailer? Because I know that was a big thing during the Super Bowl. Was
I think that
the Infinity War trailer? But I don't know if that was the first trailer or not.
What do they call it? I think that was the trailer. Before that, we had a teaser,
like a teaser.
We
okay.
don't even have a title yet,
right?
You know what? It's like what? It's like everybody's like, oh, I can't wait for the trailer. I was like, I'll settle for a right. title.
Right, just tell us what it's called.
It's like,
it is
yeah.
not the Fantabulous yeah. whatever of Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
but
just be Avengers half off.
Right, right.
Like, it looks like a sale.
That's awesome.
Like, what the hell? It's like anything, please. Make it look like a Walmart sale.
So I would imagine that we'll get a similar situation, though, where we'll probably get an extended full trailer in February with the Super Bowl, and we may get a teaser here in December. So,
way to be non-specific. may get this. We'll probably get that. Who knows?
Well, if I knew, I would tell you.
No, I know, and that's the thing. But everybody, my favorite's like, I'm starting to panic.
Right.
About what? Really?
Yeah.
We lost all the footage.
Yeah. I guess we just won't put it out this year.
We got to do a massive reshoot.
We don't have a trailer ready, so we're not going to release the movie.
Yeah. But speaking of Into the Spider-Verse, kind of had an oversight last week talking about Stan Lee. Because we were saying there would be tributes in Captain Marvel, which I'm sure there will be. But Spider-Man.
Right. We didn't even talk about
that. We didn't even think of that. That's Spider-Man. He created the whole universe. And that's animation. They could add him in.
That's the thing, is the problem is if we get him, it's definitely going to be an animated cameo, but it still could be his voice.
Yes.
So there's still, you're right, there's absolutely a world in which there's a Stan Lee cameo in that movie, and I didn't even think about it. Last week when we were talking, so
yeah, I was. I thought about it.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Yeah, if we saw that,
That would be. Looking forward to it. I'm sure there'll be something. If nothing else, I'm sure there'll be some writing at the end, tribute at the end you're gonna want to stick around
definitely.
Or
even in the very beginning, it could be a dedication to Stan.
Yeah. Along the lines of animation, how about Lion King? Now, I haven't asked you about this yet. I want to know, do you want to see that movie remade?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, do I want to see it remade?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have lived without it. Like, I wasn't clamoring for it, but I will absolutely go see it cuz I love the Lion King.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, not to interrupt, it's one of those things where all these live act, like Beauty and the Beast and all these things that they're redoing, like, I don't think they necessarily need to exist in the world because they're not changing the story at all. They're just rehashing.
No, it's the same story. Have you seen
Right, it's
the
trailer. It's exactly the same.
Did you see the trailer where they show the thing on Twitter?
Yeah, frame for frame.
Up in a bullet. It's awesome.
Right.
And it's like, so here's my take on it. Yeah, I want that. Do we need it? No, because the first movie was awesome. But they remade multiple times A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
That's like, what, the third version we just got? Third or fourth?
I think it's the third, I believe.
So when they remake a movie, they bring in new artists, actors, to redo the movie.
Right.
So how is this any different where we're bringing in new artists with new technology to redo the movie, and we're going to be entertained by it? And then on top of that, of course, they're going to bring in new actors to voice out, like Beyonce.
Right.
What's his name is coming in too. Anyways, they've got new people to make it more relevant today to bring in new viewers. Right. But you got, obviously, James Earl Jones is still in it, and people, he's too old. Why? Well, wait a minute. It's animation. You don't even need James Earl Jones. Just use the same damn recordings that we had from before.
Right.
It's the same movie. So you could literally use the same recordings, and it'd be fine.
Well, first of all, I don't think you're too old to talk. Anyways. Like,
no.
He could definitely do voiceovers.
Right.
But I guess
I'm just going by the dumbass criticisms of people being like, oh, well, he's too old to talk. But even if he wasn't there, if we didn't have him, you could still use him. It's animation. It's a voiceover. We have his lines.
Right. The difference is, I think, with some of the, you brought up, like A Star Is Born, like, it's definitely been remade multiple times, but it hasn't been beat for beat the same movie. Like, the theme is the same, but the one that just came out with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, it's not exactly the same as the last one with Chris Christopherson and whoever. The themes are there, but the story changes somewhat. But at least from what I've seen so far in the Disney remakes, they're exactly the same.
Right.
Like Beauty and the Beast was exactly the same as the cartoon. The Jungle Book was exactly the same. I mean, it's very little different. So right. I don't know that they used the same script 100%, but they could definitely retool all of James Earl Jones's recordings and work him in if they wanted to. I think they wouldn't have to change too much. But this looks like, again, another one where it's just straight up beat for beat, exactly a remake of the animated,
which
one,
to me is something I want as an artist. That's something I would love to see, because just see the comparison of technology, you know, and what they can do 20, 30 years from now, they'll do it again. And you see what they can do then, and you're like, holy crap, that looks so real.
And to go back to what I was saying, you know, with Beauty and the Beast, it was a live action remake. This is not that.
No.
Like, this is not actually a live action remake because they're not real lions.
No. Are you
not
sure?
Not real lions talking? Pretty sure. But, so it is still animated to a degree, but.
I was watching the trailer though, but it looks really good.
It does. I mean, it looks great.
I'm like, how are they going to get them? Oh, okay. That's animation.
How'd they get that lion to say that? I don't know.
Yeah. You're dangling a lot of stakes.
Right.
Yeah, but. I'm really looking forward to it. The artist in me really wants to see what they did. It's kind of right up their alley as far as artists go. It's really hard to render people. You know what I mean? Right now, that's still their flaw. They can't nail that yet. We're probably 10 years away from that, and wait until you see what video games look like then. Never mind the rest of the world and all the movie. Right. You won't even need actors anymore. But
no, you won't. You'll just have likenesses of actors. I think if an actor in 10 years won't even act, they'll just license out their
voice,
likeness in their voice. Yeah. Like Brad Pitt won't do movies anymore. They'll just have young Brad Pitt starring in movies for the next 100,000 years because they'll just create him.
Gold's Gyms all over Hollywood will be closing because
exactly.
Nobody needs to work out anymore. They're just like,
These actors, if you see them in real life, they're all fat and out of shape.
Meet Brad Pitt in person. Ooh.
They got like droopy eyes and long hair.
But
you're right, because I guess the best example we've had recently has been like Tarkin in Rogue One. And as good as he looked, he still wasn't 100% lifelike.
I can't remember if he – what was he? Was he too shiny or was he too dull?
He was a little too shiny.
Yeah, and to me that seems like something you could correct.
They can, and I think they'll get there.
Like, what, did they hurry?
Because even looking at like young Michael Douglas and young Robert Downey Jr. in the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Like they're getting there, and it won't be long. But to go back to the point I know you were trying to make, the animals and things like that, I mean, they're dead on. Like you can't even tell the difference, really.
Well, here's one of the things that I'm sure you remembered from school is it's a lot easier to duplicate something that you don't know as well. We know people. We look at people every day. I don't know a lion as well. So it's a lot easier for me to draw a lion and make it look realistic. And you're going to have a harder time picking out the flaws because your eye and brain isn't as positive about the
right. You don't see him every day and spend spend that much time with a lion.
Whereas with a human, when you draw a human, the problem they're having right now is, like, you don't even realize what your mind picks up on. Like, every individual pore when you're talking to somebody and you're seeing every detail in their face. And then when they go to try to duplicate that and they leave, we don't have the technology or the computer power to render that many pores yet.
Right,
so
they're actually a little too clean.
Right,
yeah,
and they look...
They're too smooth and too clean.
Right, and to most people, they look at it and go, something seems off. And you don't know what it is because you're not, that's not what you do. It's like, I remember a kid in high school shaved off his eyebrow. Most people were like, what? It was for the hockey team. They remember they
And you're like, I know something's different, but
and you're like,
I don't know what.
Oh, you're missing. And that's how like subconscious this stuff is. You don't understand it. It just doesn't look right, but it, you know, right. It's not right. Where you look at a lion and you go, that looks dead on. No, right. That's not dead on. But it's,
yeah, they may not be
believe.
As good as we think they are, but
right.
They appear well, they appear to be pretty good.
It's not a coincidence that Toy Story was the first one, because that was the easiest thing to render. Boxes, right. Shapes, toys, you can make plastic look like plastic, but they couldn't. You notice the people in that, they couldn't do that. And
right.
That wasn't, well, you know, they it kind of like George Lucas in the 70s, he couldn't do what he wanted to do in the first three. Well, in Toy Story, they couldn't do people, so we're just going to do a story about toys.
Right. Well, even to go back to something like Jurassic Park, like obviously I don't know what a T-Rex looks like. But
you don't?
That looks like a T-Rex to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
They look realistic and lifelike, although if it was side by side with a real T-Rex, maybe they don't look that similar after all.
I always,
you know,
wondered, how do we know their color?
Right. All we ever had is bones.
All we ever had was bones. We don't, I mean.
Well, we extrapolate out that we know they're reptilian, so we're just basing them off of,
yeah, don't,
you know, the lizards and the reptiles we have now.
How scary.
But you're right, we don't know.
What
a damn T-Rex could have been purple for all we know.
Bright red. Yeah, Barney.
Barney, yeah.
Oh,
right.
No. Not nearly as terrifying.
Right.
Trying to give you a hug with those little short arms. Yeah. So, speaking of little short arms, this is a horrible segue.
Oh, I was going to say, where are we going?
I watched Tusk.
Oh, okay. I was going to say,
oh,
I know that's going to be
part
of our conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you listen to the podcast?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So
I watched Tusk.
Was,
I had to listen to the podcast, and I brought it up. My wife and I both watched the movie.
Right.
And then we both had to cleanse ourselves and listen to the podcast.
I told you.
I was so disturbed at the end of that. I was like, I need something. I need Young Justice. I need something, something normal, please.
I told you. It's very disturbing. I told you that before you watched it.
It's
not for the faint of heart.
The entire time, I'm sitting there going, how do they come up with this? Like, what in your mind would create this?
Right.
And then you listen to the podcast, and I'm like, oh, well, that's how they came up with it. How did the guy that wrote the fake ad come up with, he's the one. It's like, what made him, like, I guess you're just sitting around, you know, bored. And you're like, here's exactly. But that is, what a disturbing movie. Funny.
Right, But what I really wanted to talk about was the evolution of it in that podcast,
right,
where it was created. I mean, that movie was created in about 10 minutes, almost beat for beat. Like, everything they talked about came to pass in that movie.
Yeah.
And it was just like, those guys were joking. So, I mean, I never heard people laughing so hard as when they were basically writing that movie.
Right, and making it up as they go. And you can see, like, like my wife and I were listening to the podcast, and we're like, "Yeah," and this is, and you hear the changes that they made,
right?
And the name, because the name of the hockey player, remember the name of the hockey player that gets killed, and that's the name of the newspaper or whatever that the original ad was in the podcast. That's his last name, Greg. I can't remember the name of it, but
yeah, I don't remember, but.
But yeah, the entire thing is crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we actually do want to see Yoga Hosers. Have you seen that?
Well, I haven't watched it yet. Like I said, I wanted to talk about it more because of the creation of it than the movie itself. Because, you know, like I said, the movie is not for everybody. And it's definitely disturbing. But the fact that it exists and the reason why it exists, it's like they put up a poll on Twitter.
Right.
And you just type in walrus yes or walrus no.
Yeah.
And
it was hashtag walrus yes, I think. And,
yeah.
And if they got enough, they would do it.
And he made this movie because of that.
Did you see the budget?
No.
They're estimated. Nobody knows for sure. They estimated it at $3 million.
I was going to say, right around $3 million, I think I heard Kevin Smith say,
and,
but
they said most of the budget was spent on getting the rights from the, what was it, Fleetwood Mac song, Tusk?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what most of the budget was spent on, just getting the rights for that. Because I think everybody in the movie was just, like, in it for fun. You know?
Yeah. So, obviously, Gila Point, you know who that, you know who the actor
was,
correct?
My wife didn't. I told
but
her.
That's what
and
I'm saying, but knowing, I had to know to see it.
Oh, I know.
Like, if I didn't know he was in that, I wouldn't have picked him out.
Yeah.
Like, it, I had no idea.
You know why I knew him? He's very similar to, you see him in, what was it, 21 Jump Street? Or was it 22 Jump Street? He was in one of them, one of those movies, and the same idea. He was undercover, disguised. And by the end of the movie, the entire time in that movie, I didn't know it was him.
Okay.
And then at the end,
see, I didn't
like,
see
oh,
that,
my God.
So...
But
yeah,
he
I
was in
that,
21
so
Jump
know.
Street, the show.
Well, I remember, right. way back
but
when
in,
he was a kid, he was
right.
in 21
so
Jump
in
Street.
So in the movie, but... he came in, but he was like undercover, but you didn't know it was him.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. But yeah. It took me a while. I even knew he was in the movie because I heard Kevin Smith talk about it 100 times, and I knew that his daughter was in the convenience store with Kevin Smith's daughter. But even knowing all that, I still didn't figure it out until halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, who the hell is this guy?
I thought it was cool how they kept coming back to different scenes. Like, so they start the movie out with the guys podcasting.
Right.
And you think you saw the whole thing, the way they edited it. But then when they come back to that scene later on as a flashback, they show you more of that scene.
Right.
Like, they edited out a midsection of it. And they kept doing that in different parts of the movie, which I thought was really cool. I thought that was...
Yeah, because they did it with the two girls in the convenience store, too.
Yep. Yeah, they did it a few times in the movie. It was a fun movie. It was a funny movie in a, like, funny, uncomfortable, like, I better laugh or I'm going to cry. But
exactly. Well, like I said, I really liked
it. Definitely
it, but
a weird horror movie.
I'm a huge fan of Kevin Smith anyways, and... To me, the dialogue gets, like, I love the dialogue in all of his movies, and there was tons of exposition and dialogue in this movie, too, and that's kind of what draws me in, but, yeah, by the end of that movie, it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah. Like, that poor guy, man, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I didn't like the ending.
But...
Then listening to the podcast, they kind of explain why they did the ending the way they did it.
Right.
I was like, why? No, don't end that way. I was so disturbed. It was awful.
But in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I haven't gotten to Yoga Hosers yet, but I'll get there soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to risk it and go right into it. I'm still waiting to digest the first movie.
Well, and you know it's a trilogy if he can ever get the funding to do the third part.
How did he get the funding for that?
I don't
know. He had to have put it up himself or something.
Well, I think for the first one, he just sold his name.
Right.
Because it's like, hey, I'm Kevin Smith and I want to make this movie. Nobody had seen it, so I think he had a tougher time getting the money for Yoga Hosers because he's like, yeah, I'm making a sequel to that movie, Tusk, that nobody saw.
Yeah, it ended up making like 1.8.
Right.
I think it did like 800,000 opening weekend, I read.
Right.
And then it's only made like 1.8 million. So,
yeah.
You know,
so I need money to make a sequel to the movie that lost money.
Right.
And I think that's why he's having a tough time getting the funding for the third movie. But the third movie is called Moose Jaws, and it's basically Jaws with a moose.
Oh, jeez.
It's like, you know, I have to see that. Like, I'd give him $10 just to help him make it. But,
speaking of Jaws, one of the things I read was they wanted the guy, he was a huge Jaws fan, wanted him to work on the movie, on Tusk. Making the don't want to give everything away, but yeah, working on that, but he couldn't do it, so he recommended somebody else. But the guy that he, one of his big things was the shark in Jaws.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Yeah.
The name of the shark was Bruce.
Right.
They actually referenced the Jaws a bunch of times in the movie. I don't know if you've seen the lines and stuff like that. They quote What's his name? The guy in Jaws that gets killed. That's so stupid. I can't remember his name. He gets eaten.
Which one?
The sailor that's going to hunt him.
Oh, yeah. Quint.
Quint. Captain Quint.
Yeah.
They quote him in the movie line for line. What's his name does it? LaPointe. I didn't notice it watching the movie because he says it in that airport restaurant scene. And right. You know how he's like, the way he, LaPointe talks, he's all like, he talks French, but it's very like fake eloquent.
Right.
So, and he's like on a roll. So you're not noticing what he's saying.
Yeah, you just kind of, you're lost in the melody.
Yeah, exactly.
Of his voice.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot to take in. I don't necessarily want to watch it again.
Right, because I don't know if we're convincing people to watch it or to stay away from it. But I will say to anybody that watches it, you do yourself a disservice if you don't find the podcast.
It's right at the end of it.
Afterwards. Right, they tell you
right
at the
end
of the movie.
Yeah, it's right before the credits. They said, go
listen. Hell, even in the credits, the part of the podcast is rolling in the credits.
Yes, at the very end.
Yeah, so
yeah.
You have to – that to me is half the fun of that movie is listening to the creation of it afterwards.
That to me is also like – not to diss on the movie, but it's kind of like when you tell a joke and you have to explain it afterwards.
Well, so, yeah.
Here,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you – I'm going to show you a movie and then I'll explain it to you afterwards.
Right.
What? But
What came first, the podcast or the movie?
Yeah, stuck inside in a snowstorm, pull it up on Netflix or something and watch it.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen to you down there, but.
No, no. More likely a flood or a hurricane.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Knock on wood.
I thought somebody was at your house.
No, yeah. Hey, hang on. I got to get the door.
Yeah. Venom coming out on 4K and Blu-ray in 3 weeks.
December 18th. Steelbook. Yeah, I saw the Steelbook for that. And I'm not usually a fan of running out and buying the Steelbooks, but it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. And you have a 4K TV now, so you're going to.
And I have a 4K TV, as I've talked about repeatedly for 2 weeks on podcast and at my store and to everybody that'll listen.
You bought 18 DVDs the other day. I'm sure your discretion has gone out the window. So.
Yeah. So, well, the best part about Venom coming out is that we get to play a recording that we made before we started any of these other ones.
Oh, man, you are getting what I'm putting down tonight.
I tell you, I am in your head, man.
Get out of there.
Yeah. I don't want to be in there too long, but.
No. You ever been in an empty warehouse?
I could get lost in there.
Yeah. No, just keep walking towards the light.
Yeah. Yeah. Carol Ann!
So, I'm looking forward to watching the Blu-ray a bunch of times. And, yeah, I don't know if I'm looking forward to listening to that recording, though.
I don't think I am either, because,
It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
We sound like Oscar winners now compared to that.
Yeah. And we're not Oscar winners now.
No.
So, it'll be funny. I can't remember. Did we do that spoiler-free?
No.
So we're going to have to
leave. We talked.
We'll have to work it in. We'll talk first, spoiler free, and then we'll bring that in. And I got my Aquaman tickets.
For Thursday at 5 p.m., actually. I think that's the earliest showing that they have anywhere. And it was actually, I'm happy. I'm okay with it because I got to pick, I got to pick my seats. I got a great theater. You know, everything's good. So, but yeah, you'll see it before I do, so.
Yeah, so that Wednesday night podcast before you see it ought to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't give it all away.
I'll just turn my mic off.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little bummed out cuz I really wanted to take advantage of that early seating, but I don't want to close my store early on a Saturday night.
No.
Yeah.
No. No,
not to see something 4 days earlier, it's not like it's 3 weeks or anything, so.
Seeing all the reviews and stuff coming in for it are pretty good.
So yeah, I read today that it's tracking to have $100 million opening weekend, which is huge for a movie like that. And
What's that there in the records for December? December's usually pretty high anyways. Christmas
December's
week.
A big, yeah, December's a big movie month. And you've got Force Awakens that happened in December, so they'll never catch,
you know,
the December records. But it's a big opening for a DC movie. And I did also read that there are after credit scenes, so
yep.
I think that's the first DC movie that's done that.
Yeah, you didn't see my tweet?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, I tweeted it out. I tweeted out that somebody, you know, retweeted somebody, but added in like, hey, when it's a good idea, it's a good idea. Hey,
exactly.
What are you going to do? Oh, they're clapping them. So what?
The thing is, you're not used to it in the DC movie. So, you know, in the Marvel movies, it's just a habit. Like, you know, you just don't get up when the movie's over. But this one, I probably would have got up and walked out because you're not used to it.
Right.
Although I find myself now even hell, I stayed to the end of A Star Is Born just to see if there was an after the credit scene. So
yeah.
And now you just kind of do it. I just kind of do it in everything. But it is. I think the first time that DC has done it. If trying to think back, I think it is the first time. So
yeah, I'm not 100% on that either. But yeah,
if it's not, I guess I missed them because I don't remember seeing it. So
yeah, no.
Maybe I didn't stay for them. But
yeah, I usually every movie now, if I don't stay, I'm at least checking my phone.
Yeah,
you reach down, and you're like, oh, okay, okay, we can go, let's go.
Well, what's cool now is some of the, like the theater I go to, they have a sign above the door when you walk in that says this movie has two after credit scenes or whatever. Like they're
really?
Telling you before you, yeah.
Oh wow.
Like when I walked into Venom, they had a sign on the door that said this movie has two after credit scenes. So
you know what's funny? I bet you they do that so that when it doesn't, you leave. Because they want to get in the clean.
Yeah, they want to clean it up before the next show. You're right. So
right. So it probably helps them out because it's like, look, please leave. There's nothing else for you to see.
Right.
just a bunch of people you've never met that did a great job.
Get out. Yeah. Yeah. 9,000 people in the credits of this movie that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
But.
So. That's all I got. You want to do some comics? You got your list for this week?
Yeah. Well, are we coming back after? Or are we wrapping up with this? Because there's a couple of other things that.
Yeah. Why don't we do some comics and we'll come back after?
Since we don't really have a format this week, we're just rambling.
No, it's potpourri.
It's a cornucopia.
Cornucopia.
Of geekery.
Yeah, there you go. All right, yeah, what do we got for comics this week?
All right, so looking at our speculator books this week, it was, again, another pretty light week. It's the holidays now, so there's not as many releases or orders as there have been. But there's still a couple to look at this week. You have Batgirl number 29, the Joshua Middleton variant. Once again, I've talked about him several times in the past now, and he's been doing Batgirl for at least 12 issues or so of these variant covers, and they're always really hot. And this is another great one.
So you've seen this cover, right?
Yeah, I have this. This is in my store. Like these are books
awesome.
Are actually here today.
All right. We can do, we were talking about this week, we'll send out pictures of this on Twitter. Because obviously we're not on YouTube or anything like that. But we can put that picture out so people can, not only are these all going to be in the notes, but we'll send pictures out as the week goes on of these covers.
Yeah, for sure. Cool? These first books, the speculator books, are all books that have been released. So the covers are in hand and I have seen them. So like I said, Batgirl 29, it's a great cover. But again, it's one of these things now where we've started to catch up to the demand on them, and they're not fetching the high prices that they were, but that doesn't make it any less beautiful of a cover.
No, but and that's the thing. It's like I used to buy them when I was a kid just based on the cover. Like, you know, we talked about this before. It's like I go into the store and I just, that one looks cool. I probably threw it out when I was done, or my parents threw it out. I don't have any of my comics from when I was a kid. So it's sometimes these are just like, you just like the artwork.
Right.
So that's what's cool.
Yeah, and like I said, these are great books to have. They might not necessarily light up the secondary market, but you never know, because some of these things catch on, and they, you know, down the line they are. So the next one, and this is a guy we haven't really talked about yet, but Amazing Spider-Man number 10, we have J. Scott Campbell did a Black Cat variant cover.
I saw that one.
And yeah, it's a great cover. This guy is my favorite cover artist. I don't know what it is about his work, because he's definitely not the best artist, but I collect this guy's covers. I love his work, and this was the first one I snapped up this week for my personal collection. Had to have it, and it's a great cover. Once again, just selling right at cover price. This is another one where stores that are ordering know these things are going to be in demand and didn't go short on them. So I've got plenty of copies available, and most stores do. So it's not going to light up, again, the eBay or anything like that. But still a great cover, and it's a great book. And Amazing Spider-Man, you can't go wrong. We talked about it last week.
I haven't even been able to find it here. I was looking for that variant, and I haven't been able to find it up here.
Oh, well, so again, saying that, you know, maybe it's not as well available as I thought it was, but I know for me, I ordered plenty of them.
Right.
So I've got quite a few. The next one, we had Ironheart number 1 came out this week. For those that don't know, Ironheart is Riri Williams. She was Iron Man for a time when Tony Stark was in a coma. And she's a 13, 14-year-old teenage girl. And she basically created her own suit of armor and took over, you know, for Iron Man. So she's got her own title that came out this week. So there's a 1 in 50 variant cover for this. And I know we talked about one of these a couple of weeks ago where these 1 in 50 variants aren't something I would normally talk about. But this is another one that's just insanely hot right now, like way more than these things usually are. I think I mentioned before, like the 1 in 50 variants usually sell for $30 to $40. This thing is going for $250, $280 on eBay. That's just way...
Was it got gold leaf?
I don't know what it is. It's just crazy. Like, if I knew that this thing was going to go for $300, I would have ordered 50 copies of this book just to sell the variant for $300.
Right.
It's crazy the amount of money that this thing's going for. It's not even that – I mean, not to disparage the artist, but it's not even that great of a cover. Like, I can't figure out why this thing is so hot, but I don't know how sustainable that is and whether it's going to – stay that price long term. But I think the last one we talked about,
what's the name of it again?
Ironheart. Yeah, and it's issue number 1. And then
is it because it's issue 1 maybe?
Well, it could be, but I mean, the regular cover for issue 1, generally when you get these 50 copy variants, they're on number 1 issues anyways. Because usually the incentives for ordering are on the number 1s. You don't see them as much on the 2s and 3s. It's usually when the series launches. The last one that went crazy like that was the Spider-Gwen that came out about a month and a half ago, and the 1 in 50 variant for that title is selling in the $200 to $300 range. So it's hard to figure out why these things are so high when other ones that are the same ratio don't climb to that range. Because, you know, when do you take a chance on them as a retailer or a collector? You know, you just never know. There's no rhyme or reason to some of these things. You know, why one jumps so high and another one doesn't. But that's a crazy one. If you can get your hands on it, I know I mentioned it the last time, that these things are harder to get because not every store orders. Like, I didn't order 50 copies of Ironheart. You know, only your big, big retailers are probably ordering that many copies. But if you can find one and you can get it at a good price, I'd look to grab it up. And yeah, it's crazy.
It's funny, though, because it's like we were just saying a minute ago, though. I'm personally not in this for the money. I know there's a lot. That's part of the hobby. That's part of what people do, similar to autographs from professional athletes. You have the kids that I have a few autographs that they're worthless to me, but priceless because I'm never getting rid of them. But
exactly,
you know, and it's like it could be worth $300 or it could be worth $300. But if I don't like the art, it doesn't matter. But if I really like it, you're not going to get it from me anyways.
Well, exactly. But that just goes to show how speculator driven some of these comics become, because there's no reason for these things to be hitting these prices except that speculators are driving them up. I worry a little bit, and this is a conversation for another time, but it kind of harkens back to the 90s when we had this huge crash in comic books because they became so speculator driven that people were buying books thinking they were going to retire off them. And when they realized they couldn't, everything just got dumped in a huge fire sale, and, you know, comics went into the dumpster for years. And I'm hoping that we're not kind of building ourselves towards a similar situation with these things, because I don't know how sustainable they are. But this is the speculator roundup, so that's why we're talking about them.
I love talking about it. I love seeing these comics. Seeing the art, actually.
I don't necessarily know that these things are sustainable in the long term, but it's crazy right now. And if you can get in and get out of it, it's something that you want to take a look at. On a similar vein, Spider-Girls number 2 came out, and there's a 1-in-25 variant for it. That's selling for about $60. So again, a 1-in-25 variant is generally a $20 comic book. So this thing's selling for three times that. Now the artist on this one is a little bit more understandable, because this is that Hyuk Lim, and we talked about him a few weeks ago, and he's a pretty popular artist. So at least with this one, the art is somewhat helping to drive the value of this variant, because people are collecting it for the artwork. Whereas the Ironheart number 1, I don't see that being the same case. But you know, once again, this one should be a little bit easier to find, because 25 copies is a little bit more in the range for stores than 50, but it's still not going to be everywhere. So, I didn't specifically order 25 copies of Spider-Girls, but I ordered 25 copies of lots of books. So it's not necessarily as tough to get.
Is that how it works? It's like for every 25, they'll send you one variant?
Yeah, I guess I should go back and explain that. I'm talking like I know, and I assume everybody else does. So when I say when I say 1-in-50 or 1-in-25, yeah, you get an opportunity to, you don't get them for free.
No.
But you get the opportunity to order one copy for every 25 of the regular that you order. Same thing, you know, 1-in-50 is one for every 50. So like like I've gone in 100 copies many times on a book. You go 100 copies on a book, you can get one of the 1-in-100, you can get 2 of the 50s, 4 of the 25s, 10 of the 10s. And that's how those ordering are done. So you assume that for the 1-in-25, that store had to order at least 25 copies of that to get the variant. Right. So as a retailer, you have to, you know, again, not to bore people, but you have to balance whether you're going to sell enough of the other 25.
Right.
Like, it doesn't do me any good to sell the 25 copy variant for $20 and make an $18 profit if I sit on all 25 of the other copies and lose $50. There's no incentive there. So ordering them specifically to get the variants is risky.
Maybe that's why that one's $300 then, because nobody bought them.
That's like, the thing.
It's the Honus Wagner of comic books.
So as a retailer, if you know in advance that the 50 copy variant is going to get you $300, well, then I'll spend $100 to get 50 copies and pocket $200.
Right.
But these things don't usually go that high. So to see them going that high is strange. And, you know, I've often said many times, like, if I could predict how many copies of every book I was going to sell every month, I'd be a millionaire, because I'd never over or under order anything. I'd have the exact right amount every time.
And that's why it's called the speculator market.
Right. Nobody does that. Nobody can – you can be in a comic – you can own a store for 30 years and never be 100% on your orders ever. So there's a certain amount of risk that you take. I'll order a 1 in 50 variant, or I'll order 50 copies if I'm reasonably sure I can sell 40 of them. And then if I eat 10 copies, I hope to just make it up with the variants that I sold.
Right.
But –
and this is why I couldn't own a comic book store. I'd be out of business after my first few variants. Oh, I really like that artwork. I'd have all these comics I can't sell because I wanted to keep that one.
Well, I still have 10 long boxes of $1 comics in my store from the first 6 months I was open because I didn't know how to order. I'm surprised I didn't go out of business after 6 months because I didn't know. I've never owned a store before. I assume that lots of people were going to come and buy these books. So my first order, you know, I ordered 50 copies of Spider-Man. I ordered 50 copies of Batman. And I sold like 8. So, you know. So
I really like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Hello, where is everybody?
Right. So I almost went out of business right away because nobody tells you these things and you don't know. And like, our distributor, Diamond Comics, they're not going to tell you to cut your orders back.
No, because, it's a sale to them.
Because it's a sale to them. But I would have loved it if my rep would have said, hey, you know, you're a new store, and you're probably not going to sell 50 copies of every one of these books. But yeah, they don't tell you that. So you learn over time. And, you know, quickly.
If you survive.
And the problem is I ordered my first 3 months worth of books before I even opened. So I knew after a month that I had too many books coming, but it was too late because I already ordered them all. So I didn't figure out the final order cutoff part of it for several weeks after I was open, where I could go in and readjust my orders. Because again, nobody tells you these things when you're starting out. You have to figure them out on your own. So I'm not quite sure where we I don't know how we got there. I've lost track of what we were talking about, but
speculator market.
Yeah, the speculator books. But I guess going back to the 50 copy and 25 copy variants. That's why, you know, my best-selling books I sell 30 copies a month of. So I order way less than 25 of probably 80% of the books that I order. So I don't even see most of these variants unless I just feel like I want to go out on a limb and take a chance on something. So they're hard to find out there. But that being said, these prices that these books are getting right now are way outside the norm. So if you can find them, you know, they're worth getting. But
if that's what you're in it to it for.
If that's what you're in it for. Now, I might want, say, like the Spider-Girls 1 in 25 variant just because I like the art so much and I want that book better, more than, say, the other covers. But if you're in it for speculation, you know, these are kind of the books you want to look at. Just kind of know that not every 50 copy variant is going to get you $300. That's not the norm. It's definitely an aberration for some reason. And then that was kind of it as far as the new books that came out this week on the speculator front. For our back issue bin diving, we've got Marvel 75th Anniversary number 1. This is a one-shot issue from 2014. It's been sitting in dollar bin boxes for 4 years now. Nobody cared about it. Now it's $30 to $50. Care to guess why?
No.
It's Stan Lee's last published work.
Wow.
So, okay. Once again, yeah, this is a book that, you know, nobody cared about, and now it's $50. So, but again, you should. I'm not saying you should be able to find it, but there's every opportunity to find these things still in dollar bin boxes out there because not everybody keeps up with this stuff. And you know, I have to tell a funny story. You know who needs to listen? This guy. Weeks ago, I talked about Young Avengers number 1. And how it had gone up to $30 because it was the first appearance of Kate Bishop. You know who didn't go digging in their dollar boxes to see if they had any more of them?
Oh, no.
This guy that's listening, that's talking about this podcast. I had one that I sold for $3 the other day because somebody else knew to go look for it.
Oh, nice.
But I did not.
So, our listener.
Yeah.
Hello.
I honestly thought, I really didn't think I had one. I thought I had sold my last copy, but that just goes to show you, you can talk about it on a podcast and still have it sold in your store for $3. So these and things are
how
out
much
there.
Was that? How much was it going for?
About $30.
Oh, yeah, that's you only lost 1,000%.
Well, yeah, 1,000%. Yeah. This isn't a math podcast, so.
That's why I went into art.
Right.
I wanted to be an architect till they told me that there's a lot of math. I was like, oh, okay, art.
Yeah, not my thing. Yeah. So go out and look for Marvel 75th Anniversary number one. There's a good chance you'll find it for a couple of bucks. And if nothing else, I don't want it even because it's $30 to $50. I would like to have a copy because it's Stan Lee's last work. And for me, that's just something I wouldn't mind having at any price. But that's comics. Like, something can be worth a nickel one day and $30 the next day for no reason. Now, not that Stan's death is no reason, but there's a multitude of reasons why these books fluctuate the way they do. Most often, it's first appearances of characters that are going to show up on a TV or a movie now, but sometimes in the case of this one, it's a creator that passes away and had some connection to the book. So that's out there. And then the Immortal Hulk number 2, this one again is relatively new. They're on issue 10 now, so it's only been out, I think it's a bi-weekly book too, just like Spider-Man, so it's only been out for about 5 months. But there's a first appearance in this book that now is selling for about $20. So, again, it shouldn't be that difficult to find out there in a lot of stores. So if you can find one and you can pick it up for, less than $5 cover price, it's seeing a resurgence because of a first appearance of Dr. Fry. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily know the significance of that character. But I do know that for some reason that book is climbing, so the character is going to figure in somewhere soon, and people are starting to look for it, grab that book up. So, and that's all I have for all the speculator books.
Cool.
For this week. Now, kind of diving into our final order cutoff. Once again, these are the books that have orders due on Monday of the following week. So you want to get in there and get into your store and get these books ordered. From DC, you've got several variant covers. You've got Batgirl number 30 by Josh Middleton. This is my pick. Well, it's my pick for co-number one of the week. There's another book that'll be just as good, but this is the one I would try to get ordered for sure. There's Detective Comics 995 by Mark Brooks. Flash number 61, Justice League Odyssey number 4, and then Wonder Woman 61 by Jenny Frison, and that's actually my co number one. I'd get the Batgirl and the Wonder Woman for sure, and the other ones. My pick for the best looking cover of the bunch is Justice League Odyssey number 4. It's a great looking cover, and it's actually a pretty fun book. So if you're going to read it anyways,
yeah, I was just going to say, So for stuff that's coming out, do you get you said you get it ahead of time anyways, right? Do you get an opportunity to read it so that you can recommend it?
In some cases.
So you know the story?
In some cases, not every book. We get a lot of advanced copies of number one issues, or if something, like we got an advanced copy of Wonder Woman 58 or whatever because of the creative changes. So we don't get every book early, but some of them we do. Like, I haven't seen Justice League Odyssey number 4, but the book itself is a fun series. So yeah. I recommend it.
If it's going along with the storyline, they're not going to show you anything. But like you just said, with Wonder Woman, there's creative changes. They want to let you know so you can let customers know, let us know that
stuff's
coming and you might want to pay attention to this one. Maybe it's going to change. The arc is going to change and you could jump in here and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. Like, we got advanced copies recently of Batman Damned, Green Lantern number 1, the Wonder Woman 57. Yeah. A lot of these new, like I said, new series we get. Right, so that we can sell them. We can read them ahead of time and be able to sell them to the customers. The only problem with that is we don't always get the advanced copy order early enough to adjust our orders if we really like it. So a lot of times we're getting it right around now when the final order cutoff is due. So we right. still get a chance to read it early, but we don't always get the chance to say, well, that was awesome. Let me get 10 more copies of it because I think I can really sell it. Sometimes we get them early enough, but a lot of times we don't. For DC, that's really all. There's no big new number ones that are coming up on order next week. It's really all about the variant covers. Jumping over to Marvel, we've got two variant covers you want to look at. For Deadpool number 8, we've got the Jamal Campbell Guardians of the Galaxy variant cover. That one looks pretty good. And the Immortal Hulk number 11. We've got Marvel's getting ready to do a series of 80th anniversary covers on most of their titles. The first one that's coming out is this one here, Immortal Hulk number 11. The artwork's not up for that one yet, so I can't speak to how it's going to look. But I've got a lot of people that are already looking for these 80th anniversary variants. So, and Immortal Hulk is a great selling book anyways. So if you're going to buy it, I would order the variant cover for it. As far as new series from Marvel go, we've got a couple. We've got returning after 10-plus years of being at another company, Conan the Barbarian, number one, is coming out and goes up.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I've seen it on Twitter. They've been advertising it and stuff.
Yeah, so Conan was at Dynamite Comics for at least 10 years, maybe more, since Marvel lost the rights a long time ago. But Marvel did reacquire the rights, and they're coming back. This is actually the first of three separate Conan titles that they're going to be launching over this coming year. But this will be the flagship Conan the Barbarian title. I'm a huge Conan fan. I always have been. So I'm super excited for this. It's going to be written by Jason Aaron, who's the writer of The Avengers. And he's a great writer. And he's got a passion for Conan the Barbarian. He was posting pictures months ago of, you know, when he got the assignment of all his collections of Conan novels and things that he's had since he was a kid. So I'm really excited to read this series by somebody that's, you know, really loves the character and has a passion for it. Again, in Marvel fashion, there are more variant covers for this than I can count. Some of them are open to order. Some of them are not. Some of them are ratio variants, like we talked about, 1 in 25, 1 in 50, things like that. So you might not be able to get a hold of those super easily. But there's lots of covers to look at. You want to go into your store and get them to show you what the different ones are. But I'd get a copy of Conan because I think it's going to be a great series. And then The Man Without Fear number 1. So we talked about
The Man Without Fear number 1.
Yeah, so we talked about the death of Daredevil storyline that's going on with Marvel right now. Like issue 612 came out today. Haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Yeah, so the finale, it's called, I think.
Yeah, so I'm not 100% sure if we actually got the death of Daredevil or not. But
it's called the finale.
But it's called the finale. So this book here is The Man Without Fear. It's a 4-issue miniseries. And it's about Hell's Kitchen basically without Daredevil. It's 4 issues told through the eyes and ears of his support characters. So I think one issue is going to focus on Foggy. One's going to focus on Karen. One's going to focus on Wilson Fisk and how they're all kind of interacting with each other in Hell's Kitchen without Daredevil. So looks interesting.
When's that coming out?
Well, it goes up for order. The order cutoff is Monday. It'll probably be out in 3 weeks. Generally, they come out about 3 weeks after the order cutoff. So if you want to get your Daredevil fix with Daredevil ending, as of today, this is going to be the way to get it. Now, not to be too much of a spoiler, but I know when we started talking.
What you're good at.
Yeah. Well, again, it's not really a spoiler because this is information that's already out there. But
right.
I made the comment when we were talking about the death of Daredevil that, you know, obviously comics kill people all the time and they they stay dead for some amount of time and then they come back. And you know, the most recent one was Logan, and he was gone for like 4 years before they brought him back. Captain America died, and he was gone for quite a while. You know, Sam Wilson took over, and so did Bucky. And Steve Rogers was gone for quite a while, and I speculated that the same thing would happen with Daredevil. Well, Daredevil relaunches in February, so he's not going to be gone nearly as long as I had once thought. Now, I don't know that it's – I can't imagine it's a similar situation to, say, Captain America, where somebody else steps in to become Daredevil, because he is a unique character with some unique abilities. Right. That I don't think anybody could just jump in and take over.
Well, Captain America was made, so you can always, if all you have to do is duplicate that in a comic book.
But
Daredevil was similar to most of the X-Men. You really can't.
Yeah, it'd be hard
like
to.
We talked about last week about other Wolverines, but what I really, I don't think even listening to the podcast back, what we meant to say was like there was no other Logan. Nobody else played Logan in the movie.
Right.
You'll have a hard time. The first person to play Logan is going to be, you know, other than Hugh Jackman, that's going to be tough.
Right. But, well, we said that when we distinguished between, like, the Steve Rogers Captain America versus somebody else. But, yeah, I don't know that it's actually going to be Matt Murdock back in the series again. But I do know that they're already soliciting a new Daredevil title for February. So it does
kind of. I don't
know how
I'd feel about that if it wasn't
it does
Matt
make
Murdock.
You. Yeah, it does make you wonder exactly what happened. Again, and I don't know, you know, I have to believe Marvel has a certain strategy up their sleeve, but it cheapens the ending of this series a little bit if he's coming right back in 2 months.
See, one of the things I always liked about Daredevil as a kid was, and this is going to sound stupid, but one of the things, it was very similar to the movie Die Hard. So when Die Hard came out, it was in the peak of like the action movie, the, you know, Arnold and Stallone, right, and just being bigger than life. They were real life comic book characters in the movie. And Commando, he comes out with a saw blade in his hand and takes a guy's head off. Meanwhile, an entire army can't aim.
Yeah.
It's completely unrealistic.
They're all stormtroopers.
Yeah. But then in Die Hard, and this is the part that sounds stupid, it seemed more realistic.
Yeah,
it was one man. He ran around with no shoes. You know, he had to deal with real life situations. Yes, it was unrealistic, the outcome and everything like that, but it was entertainment. I always felt Daredevil was way more grounded than, like, say, my other favorite, Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, so it's like, to take out Matt Murdock, you can't. It's like, you can do a Spider-Verse, because you already have that whole almost an X-Men type situation where he was bitten by a radioactive spider and this is what happened. But Daredevil was a unique, sad situation what happened to him, created that person, almost like you can't duplicate that. And if you did, it would just seem too fake. And I think Daredevil is just so well-grounded. And even going into the Netflix show, it's realistic. It's grounded. It's, yeah, nobody could really take a beating like that. Did you ever see that in the?
Yeah.
What it would cost him in medical bills?
Did you
read that? Oh, it was a riot. No. Oh, it was a great article. They're like, this is what it would really cost him in real life medical bills, and they had doctors reporting on all his injuries.
Well, yeah, because the insurance company would drop him after about 6 months. He'd be uninsurable.
6 days.
Yeah. He'd be uninsurable for after that. So.
But yeah,
tell me again how a blind lawyer got all these beatings.
You know? Yeah, I'd move.
Yeah,
get exactly. out of Hell's Kitchen. But yeah,
it's not,
so
it's not healthy.
I just to get back to the point of if they don't come back with my, I'm not saying I won't like it. I just find it very difficult to pull me back in. Not saying it can't be done, but
right. And like I said, I don't know what the storyline is, and I'm, like I said, I'm talking to you right now without even having read the final part of this series. But like I said, to me, it just cheapens the return so much. He's not gone long enough to even miss him. if he's coming back in February. Hell, half the books I read now are only come out once every other month because they get delayed for one reason or another. This would just be like skipping a month of Daredevil, and all of a sudden he's right back. So,
speaking of which, didn't we say Shazam was supposed to be out today?
Yeah, so it got delayed. It comes out next. It's coming out next Wednesday.
Next week. Yeah. Because I went in to get it today. I was all excited for it, and no.
Yeah, that it got pushed back a week.
Yeah.
And like I said, that stuff happens all the time. So Injustice versus He-Man and the Masters of the Universe was also due today, and it didn't ship. And I believe is on next week's invoice. So like I said, and this is just like missing a week of Daredevil. I don't know what's going on. To me, if it's just a ploy to change creative teams, there was no reason to go to all this effort to kill him just to change the artist and the writer.
Just change the artist. You don't have to kill him.
The writer's like, nobody else is going to do Daredevil like me, and I'm going to make sure of it because I'm going to kill him.
Yeah. it is comic books.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the Daredevil. And then kind of the last book to look for on Final Order Cutoff, this is by Scout Comics, which is a really small company. But they came out with a title called Stabbity Bunny about 6 months ago. And this is one, same thing. It was a small company book, so not a lot of copies were ordered. And that number one issue took off and is going for like $30 or so right now. Not saying that this will be anything like that because now we are going to order it appropriately. But there's a book called Stabbity Ever After, and it's just a one-shot, and it's set in that universe. So this is one that most stores probably are not going to go and order unless somebody asks for it. So if you're into that at all, you want to get in and order that book before Monday. It's a pretty fun read, though. We kind of talked about Dead Rabbit last week. This is similar, except this is actually a rabbit, and he goes around, you guessed it, stabbing people. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to find your pleasures where you can.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't go around stabbing people, so I have to read it in comics.
Yeah.
All right. And so our recommended reading for this week to finish up comic books, we've got from Image Comics, The Warning Number 1. This is created, written, and drawn by Edward LaRoche. Okay. This book, and don't stop me because I'm not going to give it away.
Then I don't have to stop you.
Yeah. This book is it starts out with a combat team called Gladiator 2-6. In the first half of the book, they're all being deployed somewhere. You don't really know where or why. It's just kind of like the individual characters going through their deployment and what they're thinking as they're getting called to action. You find out towards the end of the book that there's an invasion. It's basically they're being mobilized for an alien invasion that has been detected heading towards Earth. So without getting into any other spoilers, that's really a big overview of the series. But what kind of made it interesting for me was those pages of each character and what was kind of going through their minds as they're being deployed and being called into action and not really knowing what they're being called in for. There's a lot of good dialogue, and there's a lot of good visualizations in this. It's really interesting. The premise itself is very tired. I mean, we've seen it a million times over, you know, invasion force heading towards Earth and, you know, the military's being mobilized to find it. But this one had a couple of twists in it.
Sounds so original.
Yeah. But there was a couple of twists in here that made it a little interesting. But to me, it was the characterization and the character building that I enjoyed. So I definitely recommend picking it up. It's just a mini series. It's four issues, I believe. It's not going to go on very long. But it's well worth your time to pick it up and read it. So once again, The Warning by Image Comics. And then from IDW/Marvel Comics, we got Marvel Action Spider-Man number 1. This is written by Delilah Dawson, and the artist is Fico Osseo. So this is a new line that's being put out by IDW Comics with Conjunction, or in conjunction with Marvel Comics, and it's basically a young readers line of comics with the major Marvel characters. So the first one, obviously, that I'm talking about today is Spider-Man. In a couple of weeks, we get the Avengers. I really like the idea of this because lots of customers, lots of people are coming in all the time looking for books for their younger readers that are a little bit more friendly than, you know, what you always find on the shelf. Because even Marvel and DC Comics, they're definitely teen plus for the most part. You know, there's still a lot of violence, there's a lot of killing, there's lots of things that happen in comics, which is not anything that you don't get on TV these days, but, you know, a lot of people are looking for these type of stories that are more wholesome and more family-friendly. So this one here, it revolves around Peter, Miles Morales, and Gwen Stacy. So it really ties into the animated movie that we're going to get, Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. You know, in this series, they all exist in the same universe. They're not from different places.
Well, I thought.
Go ahead.
Which one are you on right now?
This is Marvel Action Spider-Man number one.
Oh, okay. No, okay. I all right. Number one. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and this basically, you know, this kind of has taken Peter back to, you know, really being a kid. Like, he's 16 years old in this book. He's not, like, even in The Amazing Spider-Man that we talked about last week, you know, he's definitely an adult at that point and has been Spider-Man for a long time and, you know, has grown through some things, where this is a series that goes back to him being, you know, in high school and being a kid. I think in one panel you even see, like, acne on his face and stuff, which was cool. But, you know, they're all in high school together. You got Miles, you got Gwen, and you got Peter, and they, like I said, they all exist in the same world. This was a lot of fun to read. I know that it's you know, it is geared for younger readers, but, you know, being a 40 plus year old guy, I still had a lot of fun reading it. To me, it still goes back to even what I love so much about the current run of Spider-Man. It's just fun. You know, it's just kind of Spider-Man being Spider-Man. This is, you know, he's a kid. He doesn't really have the big responsibilities and all the cares. He just loves being Spider-Man, loves putting on the suit and being Spider-Man. So, again, I'm not going to get into any spoilers or talk about anything else. But this is a great book to jump in and read if you like Spider-Man. And if you're looking for something for younger readers, this is a great one to read. After this, I'm really looking forward to the Avengers version that's coming in a couple of weeks. I think this is going to be a great line to follow. So those are my two recommended pickups for this week, and that is the comic book roundup.
Yeah, I read reading Spider-Geddon.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a little different. That's
what,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little and that's what I thought you were – I missed the title, and I was like, oh, because it's pretty much the same thing.
Spider-Geddon is basically the movie. It's like Into the Spider-Verse. You know, it's,
yeah, well, if you read the latest – they say it's like it's a story they wanted to do, right? And they're trying to. It's pretty good. It's a lot. It's crazy. And when you had said they're coming, they're all in the same universe. In Spider-Geddon, they're not. They all come together, just right, like in the movie. But right, it's, but they come from the different universes. They tell you where it come. They all have area codes, stuff like
right,
that. But
right, like it, the Earth 616 is. You know, is actually the main one that we're supposed to be in. But yeah, like I said, in this book, they all, because it's simplified for, you know, younger people to jump in and be younger. Yeah. So there's not all the different Earths and multiverse and all that stuff happening. But like I said, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like Spider-Geddon. It's so far.
Spider-Geddon is a good read, and I like the Spider-Verse and. Yeah. You know, like I said, I'm really looking forward to that movie. Speaking of, one more, I'll throw this out there, one more speculator book to look at. And this isn't one, this is definitely not a sleeper. Most people that are in the know already know about this book. But Edge of Spider-Verse number 2 came out, I think, in 2014 or so. That's the first appearance of Spider-Gwen. The more popular this character becomes, the more valuable this book gets. But if you have it on your radar to get this book at all, now's the time to get it, because when this movie comes out, Spider-Gwen is gonna explode in popularity, and they have already announced a spin-off movie to this animated movie featuring Spider-Gwen. So she's already a character that's immensely popular and is only going to be more popular in a couple of weeks. So,
well, I think it's funny that once the preview started, people were like, who's that?
Right.
Like Spider-Gwen. It's fun. It's fun that it creates this exposure. Right. But you're right. She's going to explode.
Like I said, if this is on your radar at all, you want to pull the trigger. And I tell you, in a good copy is going to cost you $150. It's already getting up there in price, but it's going to go even higher once like her mainstream popularity starts to kick in. And you know, because for the most part, she's unknown to anybody outside of comics readers. But that's not going to be the case after this movie comes out. So.
Yeah, the reviews on the movie are crazy. It's 100%. I checked before we went on. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes still. And people are saying it's the best Spider-Man anything.
Well,
TV show, anything.
That's a bold statement, and we haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah,
but there's been some good Spider-Man stuff out there, so... If it is truly the best, that means it's going to be pretty good.
One of the thoughts I had on it, pick a Spider-Man movie, a movie, any movie, and you'll have a criticism of it.
Yeah.
And say like, well, they didn't do this. I wish they could have done this. They didn't represent them this way.
Right.
Well, here we are in the Spider-Verse and they can represent Spider-Man in every single way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it's like, by the end of it, you're going to be like, they nailed everything with each different character.
Well, there's no shortage of versions of Spider-Man. To the point where we even get Spider-Ham, which was a character created
in
a Marvel...
Porker.
Right, it was a Marvel goof book written, like, in the 80s.
Yeah.
That, you know, was just a joke. Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham. And now, all of a sudden, he's in the Spider-Verse, and...
But it's
like he's a legitimate character. So.
I'm surprised. I don't know about you. I'm a little surprised they showed him.
Yeah.
Because that would have been more of, to me, that's more of a Steven Spielberg save it until the movie. And then you go, oh my God.
It's, right.
You know, and like, one of those things, leave it alone. Let people figure it out. Let people see it for the first time. Spoiler free, you know.
Right.
So who knows what's in there? That,
yeah.
I mean, if they've already given that away. So.
Yeah, you don't know. Like I said, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I
haven't gotten tickets for that yet.
No, I haven't either, but I'll definitely go see it on opening day. I just don't know that it's one that, you know, we have to rush right out and buy tickets for. I don't think it's going to sell out like... some of the other ones.
They haven't been doing the press that Aquaman has done. So.
Right. Right.
But so what else you got?
Well, did you watch Arrow for this week?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, I guess we can't talk about that then.
Sorry. I wasn't able to. I meant to, but I fell asleep.
Oh.
I had to take a nap.
Well, that was one of the things I had.
So give me a quick synopsis.
Well,
what happens?
Well, I just wanted to – really what I wanted to say, and I don't know how to say this without spoiling it too much, but I'll try. Something happens in this episode that I think changes the entire season from what we've had
so
far.
Well, we are getting to mid-season. That's kind of their formula.
Right. So it seems like it just turned on a dime and it's going to go somewhere else. And what I wanted to talk with you about is if you thought that – the second half of the season was going to be more of them building towards the future that we're seeing in some of the time jumps. Because I'm not 100% sure where it's going now, but it was pretty good. It's definitely like was a pivotal episode.
Yeah. And they do that like every year. It's like every year. I can't remember. What did I just see? I don't know if it was Flash or Arrow. One of them. They gave you the somebody's on their side but not on their side now. They just gave you the hint that something's going to go bad.
Yeah.
Which they do every year. They change it. They usually change up the villain. Like, it's somebody all of a sudden, like, the person that you think is the villain the first half of the season, he's actually being, like, he's a minion to somebody, the bigger guy that they deal with at the end. So, even though I haven't seen it, I probably know what you're talking about anyways. And I wouldn't want to spoil it for anybody that's listening that hasn't.
No, and I didn't necessarily want to talk about it spoiler-filled, but we could have...
Yeah.
We could talk more about it if you had
seen
it.
We could do that. Yeah, we could do that next week. Yeah. I'll see. I'll catch up next week, definitely. I usually don't miss it. I wasn't able to this week.
Well, and I don't usually catch it that quickly either. Like, I'm usually a couple of days behind, but I did watch it last night. And
I've just been so addicted to Young Justice. I come home, I'll watch a few of that. And then, like I said, I ate dinner, took a nap. I'm old.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I'm an hour ahead of you, so recording these things is late.
Yeah, well, and I not to disparage the show that comes on after that, but Legends of Tomorrow, I started watching after Arrow, and I didn't make it all the way through. I did fall asleep. So
I usually do, and I'll pick it up later. And it has nothing to do with the show because I do still like the show. I find
exactly.
it entertaining.
Yeah, it's just.
But yeah, you just get tired. You're like, you know what other show I do that with? And I hate it, is Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, that's like, to me, and it's not the show, because when I watch it fresh, I'm like, oh, yeah, I get into it. I get into all the little intricacies. But, yeah, for some reason, when I put that on, I just fall right to sleep. But it's usually I watch something before it. So I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we'll end with it. What else?
Well, I was going to say, did you see, I just saw this today, and I'm wondering how this slipped by me and if I missed it or if they were just really, really secretive about it. But did you see today that they're launching a Star Wars animated series that's set in the time frame of A New Hope? So it's got...
No.
Yeah, so I saw this today and this thing launches this week. Like, this
on
is gonna...
What?
This is gonna be out at the end of the week on StarWarsKids.com, which is a website I've never heard of. And there's also a YouTube Star Wars channel that is launching this week. So I guess it wasn't just me, but this news completely got by me. Like, I had no idea this was coming. Now, I read this on the internet, so take it with a grain of salt. But, I mean, there was pictures. Like, this seems very legit. But this is a series of shorts, you know, like 10-minute, 12-minute episodes that are launching this week.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 6 hours ago, Variety reported.
Yeah, and it looks awesome. Like, I can't wait to see these. The animation looks great for this, so.
Stupid ad. Continue to Variety. Skip ad. Yeah, I want to skip the ad. I'm trying to read an article. Disney launches Star Wars digital animated series to turn kids into fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, the artwork looks like it's for kids.
It does, but
ties into one of the other ones I had was Cowboy Bebop.
Right, see that's also that? I did see that that's coming to Netflix.
But that's live action, right?
Yes, it is.
They're doing, but the artwork on that Star Wars reminds me of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Yeah, so it's definitely kid. It's definitely kid oriented, which is awesome because I think kids of the age to be watching this cartoon aren't as familiar with A New Hope and these characters, so I think it's great, but I just didn't know how this all got by me, like
well, you're not a kid.
Well, but I can see if this was something that they announced 6 hours ago for something that was going to hit the
right
that we were going to get 6 months from now, but these things are coming this week, so this has obviously been in the works for quite some time.
The new Star Wars Galaxy of Adventures series is set to premiere Friday, November 30th on the newly launched StarWarsKids.com site and the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel.
Right.
So it's going to be on YouTube.
Right.
It's described as a sort of training wheels into the Star Wars lore.
Yeah. Which is fine. I'm going to watch it anyways, but...
I'll set that up for my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. make the kids watch it with my wife. Yeah.
The first six shorts in the series launching will introduce the classic themes, pivotal moments, and iconic characters. According to Lucasfilm, such as Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Darth Vader, Han Solo, and Chewbacca. And, of course, the droids, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Well, and the thing that's even more exciting about that is... Like, the Star Wars YouTube channel cannot exist on this series alone. So what else is coming to this that,
well,
you know, it's going to keep this thing going? So I think there's going to be a lot more to come. Basically, you don't launch a whole website just for a couple of webisodes. You know, they've got to have other plans going forward. So,
well, you know what I think they're doing? And this gets back into, I mean, we've been going now for like an hour and 45 minutes here.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I know, time flies. I'm having a blast.
Yeah, me too.
So
we should not have a topic every week. We talk more.
Yeah, exactly. This gets back into what I think they're doing, what we were talking about, what DC is doing. So they don't have their app yet. So they're going to release some stuff on YouTube like this. They still own it. They run it on YouTube. And then when the app comes out, they've already got viewers.
Right.
It's like a soft opening.
It's possible.
It's possible. I mean, it's probable. I mean, what else would you do? And it's like, they own the rights. They're doing it. It's their channel. They do is.
But you could also not see this on the app, and it just exists on StarWarsKids.com to get people to go there. You know,
well,
you never know.
This will exist here for free on YouTube. The second season will be on the app.
Maybe.
And you are going to see more stuff on here to get those kids onto the app, because by the time that app comes out, one, those kids are a year older.
Right.
But two, those are the kids, that's what you want. You want your parents to say, "Mom, I want this. I'm 8 years old." The kid's 8 years old. He's telling his parents, you need to pay the $20. This is my favorite show.
Right.
Boom. It's like mom and dad are in control of the wallet, but what keeps the kid quiet? And the parents will buy that. And it'll be like, here you go. Sit down. Watch your shows. It's genius.
Yeah.
So they're literally doing a soft launch. And I can't believe, like you said, how are we just hearing about it now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
It's not so much that it's
breaking
exists.
News.
Yeah, it's just that
we
it
need
exists.
A breaking news sounder.
Right, come up. Hey, that's your job.
Yeah.
like they're not all your jobs. A little behind the scenes, DJ does all the work. I just show up and be pretty.
I don't even
do that well.
Makeup.
Yeah. I look pretty on an audio only podcast, so.
Hey, so do I. So it's like, and that's why my Thanksgiving was so tiresome, as I was up all night working on this podcast, because I'm still not good at it yet. Up all night working on it, up early in the morning to get going so I could try and get it out, because I promised people it would be out that day, and that didn't go well.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm getting better. So, yeah, back to this. That's cool. We got to keep an eye on that. I'll definitely watch it. Another thing to put on my
I know. Plate. It's another thing to put on my to-watch list, but...
But like you said, they're short.
Yeah.
It's little shorts. I think it's awesome.
They're
so
probably
crazy.
5-10 minutes a piece or so, and I don't know how often we'll get them and how many of them there are, but I don't know. I was pretty excited, and I just was really... Kind of a little upset with myself that I didn't know about it before today. So,
I wonder who did the voices and stuff.
That'll yeah, no telling. I don't think it's well.
Can we IMDb?
Obviously, there's not Carrie Fisher, but I wouldn't think it would even be.
You can't do the young ones. Star Wars characters and have hand. You know,
yeah,
Harrison
they don't.
Ford.
They don't sound Jeez. That. They're like James Earl Jones old now, so you can't do that. Unless they just repurposed the audio from the movies, which I guess they could do. But
yeah, they could. I remember when I had all sorts of stuff when I was a kid from Star Wars. I had the book that followed. I had the little picture book that you read it, and it had pictures from the movie. But word for word, it was like in story form. It had the entire movie.
Yeah, I had that too.
I probably read that book. I don't know how many times. It was like an 8x10 size book.
Yep.
Color picture perfect.
3PO and R2 on the cover.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, I wish I could find that.
I know.
Could online for like
$1,000. You'd be surprised. It's probably not that much. But
I'm looking it up on IMDb to see if Galaxy of Adventures.
Yeah, it might be there. I'd be surprised if it's already there, but since nobody knew about it until a couple hours ago.
Yeah, no. Nothing yet. Oh, well. I'll keep searching. What else you got?
Nothing that's geek-related at all, but something that you might like, and I'm sure you already know about this, but... did you know, are you aware of the, I know you used to be a huge Springsteen fan.
Yep.
Do you know about the Netflix special that he's got coming up in a couple of weeks?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I figured you did, but I wanted to bring it to you just in case. Because yeah, I saw the previews for it today, and I thought about you, and I was like, I've been wanting to see it. I've known about it for a while, but.
Yeah, I had opportunities to get tickets for it.
Yeah,
and I couldn't justify it. It was $800.
Yeah, way too much money.
And I was like, you know what? And obviously this isn't in our genre right now, but
right.
I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. But Springsteen to me, I've seen him so many. I got a late start when we were in high school. I wasn't lucky enough to see him.
Right.
But then once we graduated and I had my own money and a car and could go, I lost count at 30 times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I stopped counting. And me and my brother, I took him to his first show of Springsteen. I was like, you got to see him. He was into Pearl Jam. He was into, you know.
Right.
He's a musician. He's into that stuff. But I remember taking him to the first Springsteen, his first Springsteen show. And it was, what was the album? It was the double album when he wasn't with the E Street Band there. But anyways, there was one part in the show when Springsteen did this thing and get you out of your seat to stand up, and he was going back and forth in the room. We were at the Worcester Centrum at the time, and my brother, when they came to our side of the room, he pointed at us on our side of the room, and my brother leapt out of his seat. And I still get chills talking about it because it's like he grabbed him, and he's owned Mikey ever since. So ever since then. That's why I've seen so many shows. It's like, if he gets tickets, I go. If I get tickets, he goes. And we've always just taken each other to everything.
Right.
He'd play the Garden, and he'd do four shows there, and we'd see all four shows. And then we'd drive out to Albany and see the two shows out there. So that it became a thing where people are like, oh, hey, it's DJ's birthday. We'll get him Springsteen tickets because we know it's a simple thing. You know, I was like, okay. But then to see him, to pay $800, I was afraid to pay $800 and hear all the stories that I've heard, whether I heard them on albums or it. Mikey actually met him at the book signing. He went and met him in Boston. He was lucky enough to get in on that. But it was a lot of money, and I'm really looking forward to the Netflix special. Joe actually sent it to me. I had heard about it as well, but my son sent it to me. Okay. The same thing. He's like, oh, look. So it's coming out, what, like the 15th or something like that?
Yeah, it's coming up soon. And I, obviously, I was never a huge fan like you were. I mean, I've always liked him, but I wasn't into him like obviously you were. But I didn't realize that I didn't know how similar this was to his other shows, because this I thought was more of like a stage show with storytelling.
It is. It's exactly what it is. And it's like, but what I meant by like paying the $800 to see him sing and tell stories, I've heard a lot of the stories.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. If I had the, I would definitely go and see him, but that's a lot of money and I'm not going to go by myself.
Well, yeah. Well, so that's what
I'd
you
have
needed
to take
get,
my wife. That's $1,600.
Well, no, you just make it Mikey's turn, and he takes you.
Right. Well, no, we paid up for our own tickets. Oh, okay. But yeah, it's
hey, this one's your turn. I'll get the next one.
And it was a lottery, so like I don't know if you know how hard it was to get those tickets.
No, I do know. Like, I mean, I'm obviously in Texas and nowhere near it, but I heard enough about it that I knew that you couldn't just walk in and buy tickets. Like it was really hard to get.
This is how it worked. You were in a lottery, and when your name came up, I think you had like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
To get so like you'd get a text or an email, I think it was, and you'd get your email and go, okay, I have 30 minutes. Oh, crap, this email came in 2 hours ago.
Right. That was 31
minutes
ago.
I'm not kidding. I had like three opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them, Jen, my wife actually got, she's like, I'm online. Do you want them? And I was like, at the time I was like, $1,600, I don't have that. Right. I can't justify that right now. That's not cool.
It's
like,
right.
So that was the closest I came. But it had it been another time when we were like, yeah, we got that, do it.
Right.
But yeah, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's not quite the same as being there live, but I guess it's the next best thing. So
yeah, it's
probably more comfortable and actually easier to see in here than it would be if you were.
Yeah. Well, so. I guess it was a pretty intimate setting too.
Yeah, I heard it was, but. I don't know. I just thought, so. I figured you probably knew, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah, hey, no problem. That's what I'm here for. So I know we're really long, but you wanted to finish up with something, so.
A couple things. I'll end with the last one. Few things here. What do you think of Cowboy? I never followed Cowboy Bebop.
A single thing about it, no.
Okay, me either. I know they have that live action series coming to Netflix.
Right.
I'll have to look into that.
I know it's a very popular anime. I mean, I sell merchandise at the store, but I honestly, I don't know anything about it. So.
Okay. And Bumblebee movie.
Yeah, I have no interest at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I do.
My wife is like so excited. She can't wait to see it. But those movies to me are not my thing. Like, I do not get off on the Transformers movies at all.
I actually like the first few, and because I like the first few, I follow the next ones every time.
I like
time.
Megan Fox.
Yeah.
The first few, but.
I follow them for the sound, the experience, everything. I love them in my theater. They're a blast. But this Bumblebee movie, from everything I'm gathering, is going back, kind of like back to basics.
Yeah.
They're going back to the cartoon, the original from the 80s Transformers, right. The original cars, everything like that. So I'm kind of actually looking forward to it a lot.
I mean,
it comes out the same weekend as Aquaman. So
yeah.
I'm kind of excited that I'm seeing Aquaman the week before and that now I can actually go and see this on that night.
Damn,
which,
so you mean
I'll probably be the only one in the theater?
Yeah, I'm going to have to choose between Aquaman. That's why Aquaman's going to do $100 million, because it's up against Bumblebee.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I mean, I will say, you know, obviously, like you said, the sights and sounds of these movies are always, I mean, they're a big spectacle. And I'm sure with the 4K and the surround sound and all that stuff, they're pretty awesome. But to me, that's all they are the sights and sounds. Like, I don't find much substance at all in them.
Yeah.
So except when we have to talk about it. Now, when we do our episode, I'm going to love it because that's what we
do. Well, you talk about what you liked about it and you leave out what you didn't. Right. He was yellow.
Yep.
You're up, Deej.
Yep. It's your turn. He talked to the car radio. That was cool. You're up.
The last thing we'll end on is Steven Hillenburg.
Yeah.
Creator of SpongeBob SquarePants dies at 57 the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was talking about him with my wife, and I'm like, I wasn't a big SpongeBob SquarePants, but.
Neither was I, but my kids
were.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and we were like, you know, it's, you know, he's not Stan Lee, but for a lot of people, and I was wondering how many people now were raised on SpongeBob and now have kids.
Right.
And are raising their kids. You know what I mean? So it's like he came after us. I mean, he was only 57.
Yeah, he was young.
That's
and
really young.
I think
you know, he's not much older than us.
Right.
And it's, you know, and it's like, that's why, you know, SpongeBob wasn't even around when we were kids. And
no.
He literally came to be when our kids were kids.
Right, and I think the difference is, you know, obviously he's no Stan Lee, but he's more like the, and again, not to disparage Jack Kirby.
But I think he is Stan Lee to a certain group of people.
Well, I don't think so. This is why I was going to say, like, we talked about Jack Kirby last week, and not to disparage what he did, but he was relatively unknown. I think Steven Hillenburg, like, I think his work is very well known, but I don't think he's as well known. Like, to my kids,
right.
They knew,
that's a good point.
They knew SpongeBob, but they have no idea who Steven Hillenburg was. So he didn't get that status because he wasn't known. But his creation is definitely is like iconic and very generational, and like it'll outlive him for sure for who knows how many years to come. But I don't think he had that status necessarily, because even myself, before yesterday, I didn't know his name. I didn't know who created SpongeBob.
No, so it'd probably be better to say, like, SpongeBob was, you know, as big as one of his characters.
Exactly.
To some people.
Right.
To Stan Lee's characters, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's the Spider-Man to some people.
To that generation of kids, for sure. Yeah.
And one of the things that I did like about SpongeBob is I think it was maybe a little groundbreaking in that it was for little kids, but you could watch it over your kids' shoulders and laugh.
Right.
And there were jokes in there for you, but the show was for the little kids. So, you know, it hit both ages. And I know a lot of adults, when we had little kids, would watch it on their own.
Oh, for sure.
I never did.
For sure. I never did either. I, you know, obviously I saw pieces and I've seen episodes because my kids were watching it. But, you know, I never sat down to get into it myself. But, I mean, that's true. That's any of the best animation or any of the best kids content is accessible for adults, because there's multiple layers in there that you don't need to have as a kid to enjoy it, but they exist for the adults to also enjoy. So I think that is something, you know, that's obviously.
Now that I think about it, a lot of the people I remember that watched it, they weren't comic book fans.
Right.
So that it was new to them, like, oh, I'm watching cartoons.
Right.
Whereas I was like, I've got a list I've been watching for years. I never stopped.
Right.
So, but yeah, so that was sad to see. And we'll end with that.
All right.
We're at the 2-hour mark.
Oh,
John.
This is definitely our long. I guess we need a topic.
Well,
going forward, we need topics, because otherwise we just ramble on endlessly for hours and hours.
It was fun, though.
It was. Well, it's fun for us. I don't know if it's fun for the listeners. That remains to be seen. But
if you see me play hockey, the fans don't really care how bad I am.
Right.
I'm having fun. Right. So, so we'll end with that. It's been a long night. You can, please, if you're still listening, do us a favor. Rate us and review us on iTunes.
Yes, please.
We'd like to get some reviews, get some ratings up there. If we can get 5 stars, that'd be awesome. Write us a review. Let us know what you like. Maybe you don't like the 2-hour mark.
Oh,
consider this 2 1-hour podcasts.
That's right. The beauty of podcasts is you can break it up and take it in chunks.
Yeah. So, but yeah, please. That'd be awesome. And, tweet at us on Twitter at the bright side chat _ chat. Sorry, at the bright side _ chat.
It has been a long night, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
We'll fix that in post.
I got to get 2 bottles of water. I ran out of water about an hour ago. I've been sipping on condensation.
Are you just sucking the bottle?
Yeah, I am. And email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Always on iTunes. On Google Play, you can search us at The Bright Side Chat. And
Facebook.com/TheBrightSideChat.
There we go. If we could get some reviews on iTunes, that'd be awesome. Thank you very much. That's it.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
You good?
Yep.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Right.
And we'll be doing Titans next week. We will have a subject. We'll try to stay under 2 hours.
It might still be 2 hours, but we will have a topic.
It probably will be, because we've got we're doing 4 more episodes, but of course we're going to harken back to the first 4 as well. So, all right. Have a good night, everybody.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Bye. Hey, Fred.